Well, today I'm excited to be in the Word with you guys as we're continuing in Romans 8. I'm going to let you know right now, Pastor Kyle talked to me, and he's been doing this series. And he gave me Romans 8, 26 to 27, and I started reading it and started doing my research, and I realized I think he gave this to me because it's hard. And it has great words, and it speaks to us, but as you start going into it, it's deep, and it's challenging. And as I've been sifting through it this week, it's been cool to see what God has been revealing, what he has been saying about himself, who he is, the Holy Spirit. So before we begin, let's pray, and then we'll jump right in. Jesus, Lord, I just pray for your word today, your word to be revealed, your word to speak, your word to be the truth that we hold on to. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to bring your words today, and I pray that it won't be mine. I pray that I lay all my thoughts, all these things in my head right now before you and you speak. Lord, I pray for this congregation. You know the minds. You know the things they've been through this week. And I pray that as we dive into your word, that something will be revealed to them that they can use, chew on, grow. But also, Lord, I pray that you also convict us for the things that we don't see. You know our hearts. You know our minds. And Lord, I just pray that you would be the one honored today. In your name, amen. Well, as we've been going through Romans 8, we've had a lot of different themes. And I've jotted down all the titles of Pastor Kyle's sermons as we've been going through this series. The radical difference of having the Holy Spirit. What is our obligation? Being led by the Spirit. Heirs of God. Making sense out of our suffering. And last week, we went over the saving grace of hope. That brings us to today, where the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Hopefully, you've had time to dissect and read Romans 8. And as you've been reading it, you see it's a lot about the Holy Spirit. What the Holy Spirit's doing, who he is, how he works, and what he's doing in our lives. But also we see the importance of the Holy Spirit in the work of salvation in our lives. In Romans 8, there are three significant things, as I was studying, that the Holy Spirit is actively working on in the lives of believers. One of the first things is regeneration. He gives us life. Romans 8, 9 through 10 says, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. Though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. The Spirit is the one working, giving us life, regenerating us so that we can serve and grow in him. The second thing is sanctification. He conforms us to the image of Christ. And we get to see this Romans 8, 12 through 17. So then, brothers and sisters, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you are living in accord with the flesh, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, those are sons and daughters of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons and daughters by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. It's a process. We don't just get sanctified when we accept Christ. It's a continued coming to him, being renewed by the Spirit working in us, convicting us, challenging us. And then we come to Romans 8, 26 to 27, our verses, and this theme continues to the rest of the chapter. And the word that we see for these verses is security. The Holy Spirit is securing our eternal glory. Regeneration, sanctification, and security. We know that we can be secure in God's work. We need to recognize we need the Spirit's help in our Christian walk. Just as Christ's death was needed to bridge the gap for salvation. 1 Peter 1, 3 to 5 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." There's an importance with the connection of Christ's death and the work of the Holy Spirit. Because of Christ's death, death on the cross, and for those that believe that and take a hold of that, the Holy Spirit is able to come into the life of the believer and work in us. And also we get to see some similar things going with Romans 8 and 1 Peter 1, where it's talking about these future glories. This redemption, this getting to be with Christ, this inheritance from our adoption. It's something we can look forward to. Not something that should be the basis of our faith. Our basis of faith should be in God, who he is, what he did for me, knowing that I'm a sinner and that I need him. And when it talks about the power of God in 1 Peter 1, 3 to 5, we can think of God's power, what he does. But this power of God specifically through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time is talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit working in this faith, working in the salvation. And the Holy Spirit is the one holding secure our inheritance. And we'll dive more into that as we go through Romans 8. Paul Washer, preacher, some might know you if you keep up with Mr. MacArthur. And he said, "I used to tell young preachers, in order to preach, you got to have the power of God on your life. Now I tell them, in order to tie your shoes, you've got to have the power of God on your life." I've never heard it put that way, but I think it's important. Many times when we go into serving ministry, we go, "Yes, I need the Lord." But when I go tie my shoes, I don't think I know the Lord. I have that song, what the little bunny going through the hole and all that. I got that in my head as I'm tying my shoe. But I think it puts an importance where we need to give everything to the Lord. And so that brings us to Romans 8. Caleb did an amazing job reading the scripture, but we're going to reread it again because there is an importance in reading his word. And I find that if I read it over and over again, I find something new. And that's what I challenge you to as we read this scripture. What is something that God's saying that you didn't catch the first time? So Romans 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoptions as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows that the mind of the Spirit is because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. In Romans 8, verse 26 and 27, we get to see the security that the Holy Spirit brings into our lives. In these two verses, there's three things that the Holy Spirit is doing. And I seemed to not have the... Oh, it's right here. Okay. The first thing that the Spirit is doing is the Spirit is involved in our lives. Specifically, he helps in our weakness. Verse 26, you see it starts in the same way. So it means something was going on before, and in the same way, this is happening. And what we're seeing is in verse 22 and 23, for we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for the adoptions as sons, the redemption of our body. There's this groaning, yearning for something. Creation and believers are both groaning for this ultimate restoration with the Lord. The Spirit does so as well because of the destruction of sin. We get to see it. Our heart hurts when we see war, when we see heartache, when we see death. We feel it. And I'm not there, but I'm guessing that when you're older, your body feels it a little bit more, and there's more groanings because of the body aching. That laugh might... be because you know what I'm talking about. After it says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. We have a weakness. When reading this verse, I went right to the word weakness. Because weakness stands out to me. I do not like admitting I'm weak. And if you're like me, I'm usually aware of what I'm weak in because I failed at those things or I'm not very good at it, and I try to avoid those things. Johnny and Thomas can let you know that I love leg day. Leg day is something that I absolutely love. I have hit 300 pounds in squat day, and I was like, yeah, I will make a lot of Tuesdays because it's leg day. Now, when we get to arm day, which is on a Monday, most of the time I'm not there for arm day because I know that I'm not as strong and I'm not as motivated. And in the same way in our spiritual lives, we have tendencies or things that we know that we are not strong in. We have weaknesses, and we don't like admitting that we have those weaknesses. We would rather, I'm really good at this, so I'm going to go do this to, you know, hide the fact that I'm bad at this. Or I'm not going to serve in that area because I know I'm not going to do good in that. But I'll do great in this area. And even with that kind of thinking, the Lord can humble you in that. But we have to realize in this weakness, the Holy Spirit is active. If you are a believer and you've accepted Christ, the Holy Spirit's working. He's active. He's making you think about those things. He's helping. The root word for this, the Greek root word for help, is basically saying to take hold of. The Spirit is taking hold of our weakness, taking hold of us, helping us work through this. And through these verses, after the word weakness, we see the phrase, we don't know how to pray as we should. Now, if you were like me, as you're reading these verses, you would go, my weakness is I don't know how to pray. But it's more than that. Our weakness is the mental, emotional, and physical capabilities of ourselves. We're limited in prayer. We become blind to the real heart issues that God sees. We become ignorant. When it comes to the mental side, too many things are distracting us. I know my wife gets on me a lot of the times because there will be something taking my attention and somehow my ear goes with it when she's trying to talk to me. I can't focus on two things at once. I'm not good at that. And in the same way, as we pray, we have a mental limitation. There's the emotional side of it. I'm exhausted from emotions. We get burdened. We get all these things and we don't know how to handle it. And then there's the physically tired, weak, because life has hit you. And the tired from that trials of many times I don't feel like praying when I'm bogged down, when I'm exhausted, when life just seems not to go my way. And you know, the crazy thing is, as we read these verses in 26 to 27, Paul identifies with our weakness. He's not exempt. Paul, this guy that is going out preaching, being put in jail, he identifies, also helps our weakness. Not just your weakness. He struggles with it too. We focus on the little things and the things right in front of us, but many times we let our humanness and ignorance blind us from the real hard issues. Charles Spurgeon says, prayer girds human weakness with divine strength, churns human folly into heavenly wisdom, and gives to troubled mortals the peace of God. We know not what prayer can do. Many times we lessen the importance of prayer. We might say God is important, say that He can work, But how many times do we come to him in prayer? I've shared this story before, and my dad was really good at this, of I'd lose my keys. And I'd be looking through the house, and I won't be able to find them. And he looked at me, and he goes, did you pray about it? No. Pray about it. And I'd pray about it, and it helped me focus, but then all of a sudden, I'd find my keys right after. And it's just a simple reminder to us of how important prayer is, but then also it shows our weakness of we don't instantly want to go to prayer, or we don't know the real hard issues all the time. Something that we can have assurance in is the Spirit knows our hearts and struggles. And the Spirit knows our struggle better than we do. So why don't we come to him? Why don't we come to God with that? 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 13 says this, for to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among people knows the thoughts of a person except the spirit of the person that is in him? So also the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. We also speak these things, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. For us believers that have accepted Christ, if the Spirit knows us, knows God, why don't we come to him regularly? Let him work. That flesh that we see at the beginning of Romans 8, Paul talks directly of we can't live according to the flesh and to the Spirit. It's one or the other. The second thing that we see the Holy Spirit doing in Romans 8 is that the Spirit intercedes for us. Specifically, the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. This word intercession basically means to represent someone else and plea for their case. And so we see the Spirit intercedes, the Spirit pleads for us. He's representing us and pleading for us. Now, something as I was reading and working through this idea of intercession that it's talking about correlates with how Christ intercedes for the believers at the right hand of Christ. If that doesn't show you unity of the Trinity, I don't know what else does. If the Son intercedes for us with the Father, and the Holy Spirit is interceding for us within us to the Father as well, shows you how much God wants a relationship with us. Hebrews 4, 14 to 16 says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let's hold firmly to our confession. For we do not have a priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all the things just as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let's approach the throne of God with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace for help at the time of our need. This idea of Jesus interceding for us, he knows our weakness, he knows our struggles, and he's interceding for us at the Father. He's pleading for us, making a case for us. And then we see in Romans 8, the Holy Spirit is pleading, making a case for us with the Father within us and securing our future glories. This idea of intercession can be better thought of as bearing the load, coming alongside. The Spirit comes alongside of us, encourages us, works in us. And we get to see this in verse 26, where the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. I like to point out that it's not one groan. He just doesn't go, ugh. It's groanings. It's a continued support, continued anguish in what you're going through. And this groanings too deep for it, he can't put it to words. I can't describe it. The Holy Spirit is coming with that much directness and love and wanting to work in our lives in that way. And it brings us back to Romans 8, 22 to 23. As we talk about these intercessions, we see creation groans and suffers because of the weight of the consequences of sin in the world. We see we groan for the redemption and adoption that comes from salvation. And the Holy Spirit is groaning in the same way for our ultimate restoration with Christ, and is interceding for us in that same process. We see three different groans, but it all comes back to the Spirit's intercession in our lives. When I met with Pastor Ralph, he says, I must really like Charles Spurgeon, because there's a lot of Charles Spurgeon quotes today. And he said, without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are as ships without wind or chariots without steeds. Like branches without sap, we are withered. Like coals without fire, we are useless. As an offering without the sacrificial flame, we are unaccepted. So there's an importance of the Holy Spirit in my life. The third thing that we see with the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit uses his intelligence as he works in our lives. We come to Romans 8, verse 27. He does not need direction. He knows. He knows what is to be done. He's in perfect union with God the Father and his will. We see this when we read verse 27, and he who searches the hearts, he is talking about God the Father, searches the hearts, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according, the because he is talking about the Holy Spirit, he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. God knows what the Holy Spirit's doing. He doesn't have to ask him because he knows that he's doing it for the will of God. Again, perfect unity in the Trinity. Spirit does not have to speak words to God about what he's doing. And God the Father knows intercession is being made by the Spirit. As I was wrestling through these verses, it dawned on me how many times I try to struggle by my own strength. Even in preparing a sermon, I try to make it work, fit. What is this saying? How do I clearly explain that? And many times I need to come back to of, it's not my work. God is perfectly working everything out to his will, even in how the Holy Spirit works, even how the Son of God lived his life, died on the cross, and gave that way for our sins so that we could be with him. There's no clunkiness about how the Trinity works. And because we can have assurance in how Christ, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit works, It gives me more insurance as I live my life and want to be surrendered and fall before him. The Father understands and is in agreement with the work of the Holy Spirit. John Piper says this: God is always doing 10,000 things in your life, and you may be aware of three of them. Our limited capability compared to God's unlimited capabilities. What we can do versus what God can do. And that brings us to the conclusion. As we've worked through these verses and seen what the Holy Spirit's doing, it gives us a couple challenges. Because it's a weakness doesn't mean we shouldn't pray. Because we have mental, emotional, and physical barriers, or we're ignorant, doesn't mean we shouldn't pray. Dwight L. Moody says this: I'd rather be able to pray than to be a great preacher. Jesus Christ never taught his disciples how to preach, but only how to pray. There's an importance of coming to God, laying those things before him, and knowing that he's going to work. The second thing is, prayer isn't easy, and we have a weakness, but we have a God that is faithful. We have a God that's never going to leave us nor forsake us. Psalms 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Third point is, what am I focusing on to pray about? When you pray, do I pray about this new sports car I want, or that work will go great and I keep getting promoted? Or will I actually pray for my heart, for the things I need to be challenged in? Now, there's a disclaimer. You have to really want those things that you pray for if you're going to ask God. There's a story that me and Stephanie have where we were sitting down in a small group on a Wednesday night. And we were taking prayer requests. And I hopefully you remember this one. She asked what she could pray for. And I said, well, priorities. Of, I know that there's this leading of God wants more in my life, and I'm trying to see his direction and what I put priorities in. And so we prayed about that. That Sunday night, I fell asleep in the wrong bunk bed. Me and my brother had loft beds, and I would roll into his, slide off. And that night, I fell asleep in my brother's bed. And I went to go roll off at 4 o'clock in the morning to what I thought was his bed. And I rolled off 6 feet and landed on the ground and broke my collarbone into three places. Waited until 6 o'clock until my parents got up, because I was a very gracious son and didn't want to give them my burdens. Went to the doctor, found all this out, and this was a day before the parking lot party. So there was many blessings that came from a hurt shoulder. Of all of a sudden, for 6 weeks, I could do nothing. No work, no activities. And God made clear, oh, priority? You're going to prioritize me. When you're in pain and suffering, I want you to be surrendered. I was confident in my abilities of what I could do. I did a lot at the parking lot party. I was excited, and then all of a sudden, I couldn't do those things, but I got to see God work, because he brought so many people up to take those jobs. And so when we pray, we need to make sure that we're ready for God to work if we're going to pray that way. Sometimes it's going to be a broken collarbone. Sometimes it won't. Those hard things happen because the consequences of sin, but God still has a perfect will. God works in it, and God works in us. This fourth point is we can have assurance and strengthen that the Holy Spirit is interceding and pleading for us in our shortcomings. I don't know about you, but many times I fall short. I get distracted. We are going to struggle. But there's an assurance in knowing the Holy Spirit is working. As I was talking with Kyle this week, we were looking at this conclusion, and I don't know if you caught it with the 3 points of what the Holy Spirit is doing, but I used eyes. He's involved. He intercedes. His intelligence. And if I really wanted to, I could add a fourth eye to this sermon. And it would be that the Holy Spirit has an intimate relationship with our sanctification and personal growth as a believer. It's not just, I'm doing this. I'm fully invested. He's working. He wants us to be regenerated, sanctified, secure in God's promises and what he's doing. Charles Spurgeon, I've already quoted him a lot, and I'm going to end with Charles Spurgeon. A sinner can no more repent and believe without the Holy Spirit's aid than he can create a world. Who can say I can create a world? We can't. And we need to know that we're broken sinners before a holy God. But through his son, his death on the cross, and that promise he has through that, the things that we can obtain. And with this work of the Holy Spirit, it helps us. Because he's involved, it allows me to be able to go through the process of sanctification. He intercedes for me. Because he knows what the Godhead's doing, he works with him to God's will. And he's involved and invested because he wants an intimate relationship with us. He's within us for those that have called on the name of Christ. So before we pray, I want to challenge you with that. If we can talk about the Spirit helps in our weakness, and you might have keyed in where I said believers and those that accepted Christ. If we have not called on the name of God, if we have not laid our lives before his work and said, Lord, I need you, the Holy Spirit's not in us. Unless we are true believers in the Son of God, how he paid for our sin and asked for forgiveness in that. And so I challenge you as we think through these words in the scripture of the Holy Spirit's purpose in our lives. And maybe it's a chance for us to think of, I need Christ. I need to give that over to him. Will you pray with me? Jesus, Lord, I just thank you for this time. Thank you for this time in your word. Thank you that it's not about my capabilities, about the things that I do. I've seen it personally in my life, Lord, where you still work when I can't, in my weakness. Your will is perfect. And Lord, I just pray for this congregation as we think, as we meditate on your word and we chew it, that we think of, what am I resting on? Am I resting on my own strength and what I'm doing, or am I resting on Christ and his capabilities and what he's doing? Thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that you give us, and pray that you would be the one glorified. In your name, amen.